Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Star Wars Celebration gives us a ton of information. Dapper Days Delights, Project Stardust marches on.
Deck out your pet in Disney, we talk about It's a Small World and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of April 17th, 2019. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Teg Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out and a big thank you to all of our supporters on Patreon. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Our patrons get some pretty nice perks like access to our Discord chat, live shows, some DL Weekly swag, and more. If you'd like to learn more, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Have you taken advantage of the free year of touring plans yet? Why not? It's as easy as contacting Concierge to book your next Disney vacation. James and Mike would love to provide you with this excellent service, along with helping you plan a great Disney vacation at no additional cost to you. You already know you want to go to the park, so why not contact Concierge and get the planning started? Remember that dining reservations start at the 90-day mark, and they can help you with those as well. So the earlier you get started, the better.
Well, did you know that you can rate and review DL Weekly on iTunes every 6 months? If you haven't reviewed us recently, please do so, as it helps get our ranking better and allows the community to grow.
Now let's get to the news. Star Wars Celebration was this past weekend in Chicago, and of course, there was plenty of news about Galaxy's Edge. Starting off with branding, Coca-Cola has designed bottles of Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, and Dasani water that fit into the theme of the new land. The sodas look like thermal detonators and are reminiscent of the round bottles Coke had a while ago that were themed like Christmas ornaments. The Dasani water is just the standard bottle look. Each of the bottles will have the writing in Erebus, the writing system used to transcribe Galactic Basic into the Star Wars universe. Something else shown off at the Star Wars Celebration were the outfits that you can purchase in Galaxy's Edge. They look extremely high quality and very nice. The outfits are mix and match, so you can create your own look.
In reference to the Coke bottles, like I said, these kind of just look like the round bottles, but they look like a thermal detonator.
Yeah, they kind of look like the cap is funky too.
Yeah.
I just really like how different and how themed the actual label is on these. The fact that you're not buying just a regular bottle of Coke or just getting something out of a fountain, it's still a nice way to have a brand in mm-hmm. the park if you're going to have Coke be a part of it, but it's a nice way to kind of make them fit into the theme, I guess. And the Dasani bottle, it's not round. It's kind of like a tube. It's not really like a bottle shape per se, but also has a funky cap and has the different writing, and the label of it is very well themed.
Yeah, the most thing that I was most excited about with this was the fact that they are actually branding stuff like that's only going to be in Galaxy's Edge. Because something I was concerned about, that it was just going to be like Coke bottles. Another thing that they kind of showed off that we aren't going to talk about, but you can go check out online from Star Wars Celebration, is they actually showed a lot of the different play sets and stuff that they're going to also sell in Galaxy's Edge. And the packaging is very kind of nondescript. It doesn't actually say Star Wars anywhere on it, so it does really fit well into the theme. I personally am most excited for these outfits that you can purchase. So, of course, you can purchase them as a whole outfit. So you can purchase Rey's outfit or the Emperor's outfit or Kylo Ren's outfit, you know. But you can also buy just pieces. So if I just want Rey's belt, I can do that. And if I want, the Emperor's hood, I can buy that. And if I want Kylo Ren's, robes, I can buy that. So you can kind of piece together and make your own person. So I like the idea of it. And they look really good. A lot of times you look at these costumes that you buy places and they're not very good quality. So I'm very excited about the high quality of these. Is that something that you'd be interested in purchasing?
So I'm not that big of a Star Wars fan to have to need to wear the merchandise. I'm excited for the land itself, but the merch, I'm stupidly more excited about the Coke bottles.
Well, the Coke bottles are a good, souvenir that you can keep later and probably are a lot cheaper than like a whole Jedi robe.
I would hope so.
The one other thing that stands out to me about these outfits is adults cannot wear them in the land.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of surprising, you know, considering they're selling them in the land, that you're not able to, wear them. But I get it, because with it being such a highly immersive land, it'd be hard to know who's a cast member and who's a guest if you had adults that were dressed up. So
I suppose
I understand the reason behind it, but it's still a little surprising.
Yeah, I agree. Well, an interesting piece of information to come out of Celebration for the Smuggler's Run attraction is that depending on how well or poorly you do is what the exit hallway will reflect when you leave the cockpit. If you crash the Falcon, the hallway might have flickering lights, sparks, and other damage. Of course, if you do a really good job, the hallway will still look nice and pristine. So this is kind of cool. I didn't expect this.
I was, again, probably too excited about hearing this news. This was so cool to me. It was just one of those like, wow, like you've never seen anything like this. The fact that this is going to be such an immersive land already. We've already heard that you're going to, depending on how you do in Smuggler's Run, is how the rest of your experience in the land could be. But I didn't realize it would start literally right after you disembark the Falcon.
So it makes sense.
That's
though.
Really neat. So I'm curious to see like if you did kind of okay. So is the hallway only half beaten up, or I don't know. It's another reason that I want to ride this attraction multiple times to see all these different things and to do all of.
Well,
the different...
you got
to
get better. So when you leave, it's not broken.
Yes, exactly. Well, previously we had seen some video of the Hondo animatronic that is coming to Smuggler's Run, but this weekend we got to see the final version in the attraction itself. This thing is so lifelike, and I think a little creepy because it is so lifelike, but it's very, very cool.
The thing that I liked most about the video clip that they released was it's kind of shot from like a lower perspective, so you can't really see anything else that's around him, but you can tell it's in the attraction.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of funny because they don't want to give away too much, so they kind of shoot it. But I'll tell you what, this sucker, he's not quite as range of motion as, let's say, the shaman in Pandora, but he does move quite a bit.
He's
and looks
very
really good.
Fluid though. Mm-hmm. Very fluid.
I'm excited. I like Hondo, so it'll be cool to see him and experience him in the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
During the Galaxy's Edge panel at Star Wars Celebration, the Disney Play app interface was shown. The new addition to the app will allow guests to solve puzzles, listen in on transmissions, translate text around the land, and more. The interface is pretty clear and seems to be easy to use, and a good time killer for the times that you're in line for an attraction. Did you see this at all, the little kind of workup?
I did, and I was kind of surprised because it's way more than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be kind of like what we've seen for some of the other attractions. Like, I don't know, it's something extra, but it's not super involved, I guess, is what we kind of see for the other ones. This is like it could be its own app. There's so much going on.
I'm actually surprised that it's not its own app.
Yeah, maybe it'll keep growing, and maybe down the line it will have to be its own app. Who knows?
Did you see some of the functionality, though? So the puzzles are kind of neat because they seem pretty simple. You can just align things. The standout thing to me that I thought was amazing was everything in the land, from what we've seen so far, is written in Arabesh, and I can't read Arabesh.
You can't?
Yeah. Can you?
Well, yes, Coca-Cola, Sprite, and Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Oh, and Dasani.
There you go. Well, there was, in the demo, they had this entryway, this doorway, and they held the phone up, and it was in Arabesh, and it kind of scanned it, and and you hit the little button that says translate, and it said antiquities, and I was like, oh my gosh, people are going to spend everybody's going to be on their phone in this land.
Yeah.
Pointing it at everything, scanning things, listening to things. They're going to sell a ton of batteries.
so many of those lightning rod charger things. But, it's just crazy to me because it just like the translate part, I guess. It's not really a point and shoot thing. There's this whole like graphic, and it's like, it's very interactive, and it looks very much. It's very much in universe, I guess would be a good way of explaining it. It's not just, you know, what is this? Oh, it's that. No, it's this whole like cool little thing. So I don't know. It's kind of, it's, I think it's going to be a great addition. It's a good way to keep people occupied knowing that they're going to have long waits. So I think that's nice. I hope that they continue to grow that system so that if you do go through the land and maybe you do go through everything on the play app that, you know, I don't know, it keeps you more involved and there's more things to do each time you go. I think that'd be really cool.
Well, it seems like some of the things like transmissions and stuff, they could change out over time and add different things to it. So, I hope that it continues to grow, like you said, because that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, we have been wondering how the assigned times will work for Galaxy's Edge when it opens, and it appears that the land will be completely cleared of guests between time slots. So cast members are going to actually come and clear each and every guest from the land before the next time, and then before the next time frame, and then let the next set of guests into the land. So what that's talking about, so to kind of back up, they're talking about kind of having almost like a fast pass system in the beginning for people to enter the land. So it's not just this horde and crowd of people. And then you also don't have this crazy long line of people that are just standing there waiting their turn to get in. So you're going to be like fast passes assigned different slots of time. So we've been trying to figure out, okay, so that's great. You have your start time. We understand how you regulate how people can, you know, get in for the start time because it's like a fast pass. But then how do you get them back out? It's not like an attraction. So it's not like, well, the ride's done, get off, go on with your day. So they were, I'd seen some things that people were talking about, well, maybe there'll be wristbands. And so they're going to make, I don't know, decipher who's who and who's in what time
frame. If you
have
a red wristband, you can't be doing it anymore.
So it's interesting, but I guess as simple as it is, it makes the most sense to just, you know, get everyone out and then start again. So it'll be interesting to see how well this actually works.
Yeah, I just wonder how much capacity and time of this new land that will be, for lack of a better word, wasted by the fact that, okay, so we've got, you know, however many thousand of people we got to get out of this land.
Yeah.
And so you literally have to close the land, get everybody out. Of course, everybody who's in line for the attractions has to cycle through. So all of that has to happen. And then you have to get all these folks out who are trying to buy things and do stuff. You know, at the end of the night, even, you know, things are open for an additional hour, but sometimes there's those people that, like, it's the hour has come and gone, and people are still meandering around. And so that time frame, when they're trying to get those last few people out, how is that going to work? Because you're wasting perhaps an hour of time that other people could be enjoying the land.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I feel like that there's got to be more to it than just this, because how do you get all the people out? I mean, it sounds to me like the area itself is going to be almost like a maze. So I don't know how you're going to make sure that everybody, you know, that you've gotten everybody out before you let the next wave of people in, unless they're just hoping to get the majority and then just continue on. Because again, time, how much time are you going to devote to doing this?
So it'll definitely be logistically interesting to find out how they do this and to watch. I'm glad we're not there for opening. We'll be able to watch this from afar and see how it goes. And hopefully, it'll all be worked out for people who are going this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some items that were announced as part of the Galaxy's Edge panel included information on DJ Rex coming to the Cantina after being a pilot on Star Tours for years, and some of the voices of the original actors were lend their voices to Galaxy's Edge, including Nine Num and Yoda.
I'm so excited for Yoda.
Well, they were talking somewhere about that, like, he might show up somewhere in the land, like, as a Force ghost, or maybe in some of the transmissions that you get on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I love the idea about DJ Rex. So, on the panel, it was kind of interesting. So, they have the, I don't remember his exact title, but he is, like, one of the higher-ups at the Lucasfilm Story Group.
Okay.
Who, like, controls all the stuff.
Sure.
And they said that they wanted to do something with Rex from Star Tours originally before the Adventure Continues version
came out.
And he goes, oh, I got to figure out a thing. So he wrote 17 pages of backstory to bring Rex there. So basically, something happened where during some battle, he was crash landed there and Oga, like, repaired him and turned him into a DJ droid. So I'm excited. They played some music at Star Wars Celebration. You can go on the internet and look. They have some clips of the music. And it sounds very, very reminiscent of the original Cantina band, that kind of sound. And then some even new stuff that sounds more, you know, electronic dance music-y kind of stuff. So I think it'll be really cool in there. And of course, I love Rex, so it'll be cool. And Paul Reubens is doing the voice again.
There you go.
Which
it's amazing to me how many. I guess I haven't heard of anybody that's not coming back to do their voices that mm-hmm. would be able to come back to do their voices. It's very impressive how many of these actors and actresses are coming back and kind of reprising their roles, so to speak.
Did you hear the story about the guy who did the voice for Neen Numb?
Mm-mm.
He was somewhere in Africa, and they could not get a hold of him, so they sent a team to Africa to find him
yeah.
with all the equipment. And they found him and they recorded all of his stuff there. And I was like, man, you really wanted this to happen.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. Well, Galaxy's Edge is going to be one of the most detailed areas of the park, and more than 7,000 props used to accomplish this prove it. The Orange County Register posted an article this week about all of the props Imagineers used to add realism and authenticity to Galaxy's Edge. The amazing thing is that there are even more on the way. 7,000, doesn't that that makes my head want to explode.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of detail.
Yeah.
And think about it. I mean, it could be really small stuff, really yeah. big stuff. And that's just stuff that's not, you know, merchandise that you're going to be able to buy or part of these attractions. It's just like world building.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the number 7,000 props and I'm like, that is a lot of props. Well, if you are a Star Wars fan and you did not make it out to Chicago this year, good news if you can make it out to Anaheim next year. In 2020, Star Wars Celebration will be coming to Anaheim. The convention that brought us a ton of Star Wars news will be set to bring us even more news next year right across the street from Disneyland. This is awesome because
Galaxy's Edge is definitely going to be packed that way.
Well, of course. I was telling producer James about this. I said, I would love to go to this.
Of course.
And then spend some time right across the street at Disneyland. Like, it'd be an amazing, like, little bit of time to go because... Well, sorry, James. I said, well, you know, we could just do this for a weekend because it's Friday through Monday. Monday doesn't have too much on it, so we could just go Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He goes, yes, but you're going to want to go to the parks. I'm like, oh, yes.
Yes, you yes. are.
Are you? Is that something that interests you? Like, I know you're not a huge Star Wars fan.
So you can go to that, and I'll just hang out at the parks.
There you go.
Deal.
Done.
I'm sure I can make some friends in the parks. I'll be fine. As the Galaxy's Edge premiere looms, Project Stardust is also racing to completion. The walls have been moved back at Sleeping Beauty Castle to show off the new tapered sidewalk along the hub. Walls have come down around the area between Frontierland and Adventureland and the planter in Tomorrowland. So it was interesting. So I looked at photos on this. I think it looks really nice, but I have seen some people, you know, on the opposite side of this saying how, especially the area between Frontierland and Adventureland, that they were kind of sad that they got rid of some greenery there.
Yep.
And so they were a little sad about that because before it kind of felt like this hidden little path that most people didn't know about, and now it's kind of wide open and obvious. Yeah. So they didn't feel it was themed as well as it had been before, I guess would be a good way of saying that.
It takes time for shrubbery and stuff to grow back. I saw that they had planted some shrubbery and stuff near there because somebody was saying, oh, now from Adventureland you can see right over to Tomorrowland.
You
it's
can.
Like, well,
you can, yeah, you
gotta
can,
give
you
it
can.
Time.
But the thing that I think is nice is you can actually see the water feature now.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was completely hidden by greenery and such. So I thought that was nice that you're able to see the water that's kind of in front of the Adventureland entrance, I guess would be
mm-hmm.
what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But the other nice thing I thought that they did is over in Tomorrowland with that planter is they not only did they make the planter smaller, but they actually created a backside to the planter that is now going to be used for stroller parking.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great because obviously there's lots of strollers in the parks because there's all sorts of kids.
Yep.
And it's nice that this stroller parking is a little bit separate and not, it's on the beaten path, but just slightly off of it. So
yeah.
It's not going to affect walkways at all. Whereas some stroller parking areas almost kind of start to get, as they grow, they kind of get closer and closer to that main walkway area. So I thought that this was really nice. Plus, it was really beautifully shaded mm-hmm. back there, too. So none of your stuff is going to be sitting out in the sun.
Right. Well, you know, something, talking about removing planters, one thing that did show up is when they did move back the walls at Sleeping Beauty Castle, there's two new trees that they planted in that area.
Yes.
So that's nice. Because I looked at the picture before I read anything. I looked at the picture, I'm like, was that tree there before? And then I went back later and I was like reading it and I'm like, oh, new trees.
That's a new tree.
I was like, okay, my memory is not that crazy. Well, the Pixar Pals parking structure is racing to completion, with more paving and work being done on the finishing touches. The new parking system that will help with traffic and knowing how many and where available parking spots are located is being installed at Mickey and Friends. I still have no idea where the tram is going to go, because it looked like it might go right in front, but there's, like, things that are coming out of the cement there, so that can't be where it drives. So in the next month, I'm really excited to see how the tram loading and drop-off is going to be, because that's going to make a huge difference to how the flow is. But I think it looks great.
Yeah, it looks very nice. I agree. It looks nice. It looks more updated, I think, than Mickey and Friends, but it also complements Mickey and Friends pretty well.
Do you think later on, once the giant rush of Galaxy's Edge kind of dies down in, you know, 10 years from now, do you think that they will renovate the escalators and stuff on Mickey and Friends to kind of be complementary to that of Pixar Pals?
They might. I don't think they're... I mean, they're very similar. The only thing that stood out to me, which, mind you, I've not ever gone over to Mickey and Friends in person, but just based on the photos, the only thing that stood out to me was just the canopies were kind of a different style. I think that'd be if they decided to go that way, I think that'd be a really easy thing to swap out to make them more similar looking. Now, but then again, do they want them to be similar looking?
That's true.
Well, I'm excited about this. If you're totally stocked up on Disney merchandise, perhaps your dog isn't. Disney has solved this with their new Disney Tales brand of outfits and toys for your furry friends. There are Mickey and Minnie themed dog beds, harnesses, outfits, bowls, and more. Other themes include the Haunted Mansion and Star Wars.
I feel like this story is right up your alley, because not only do you love Disney merchandise, but you love dogs. and you love the Haunted Mansion.
And the Haunted Mansion, yes. So, it's like just soap. That's the only other thing we needed to include here, and we would have been set.
So when we go, are you going to buy Piper and Luna?
They've had some dog like toys and stuff like that. They've always kind of had that. Actually, for some reason, Frontierland's the one place I really remember seeing some of that stuff. Why Frontierland is popping out of my head right now, I don't know. But they had toys and stuff. And unfortunately, my girls are a little bit... They're not very nice with their toys. I need very durable, sturdy toys. They would have wrecked those
toys.
What
about like the harnesses and the collars and stuff? Or dog beds?
Collars, probably. Not dog beds. They'd wreck those, too.
Do they not wear any
collars?
Clothes?
No, we don't do clothes.
Well, I thought with the Haunted Mansion or something, you might make an exception.
I did really like those, but not quite for my girls. I really liked the collars and the bandanas and the leashes best. The bowls were nice, too.
Yeah. My poor puppy is getting up there in age, so I feel like...
Did you see that they even have Mickey ears that you could get for your dogs?
Oh, geez. She would hate those.
Or spirit jerseys.
Yeah, I saw the spirit jerseys. I know Jackie, my dog, would hate Mickey ears because she just hates all of that. So the one time I tried
they
to
are
put
very
little,
cute, though.
The one time I tried to put booties on her, she was going to murder me in my sleep. Well, this past weekend was Dapper Days at the resort, and there were a lot of specialty cocktails that you could get in downtown Disney to celebrate. Tortilla Joe's was serving Dolce Vita Paloma, made with Dolce Vita Tequila, Blanco, grapefruit soda, and lime juice. Naples featured the Bee's Knees Gin, fresh lime and juice, honey, basil, and a lemon twist. And over at Catal, you could order a New York Sour with Bouillé Bourbon, lemon juice, simple syrup, egg white, and Angostura bitters.
Such fancy named things in these cocktails.
You know, I had you write this story, and I can't believe that you got that I ended up being the one that has to read it. I always have to read these terrible things.
I'm just disappointed there's no Shemganj in there.
Yes, me too. Where was the Shemganj?
You people. So which one of these would you have drank?
I don't know. So I think the one that stood out to me the most, because really, in all honesty, I'm not a big tequila, gin, or bourbon person.
Yeah.
But I think the one that stood out to me the most was the Paloma, which was the first one that was at Tortilla Joe's. And really, honestly, grapefruit soda and lime juice just sounded delicious to me. And then I guess there was a little tequila in there, too. So but all of these are just very unique. They're very... how do I want to say it? They're kind of like old-timey cocktails,
Yep,
definitely much more dapper and fancy than what we typically find at bars now. However, the egg white, which was in the last one that was over at Catal, egg white is becoming a big thing for cocktails now. Hmm. It gives it almost like a creaminess. I've never personally tried it, but that's what I've heard.
Interesting.
It's a surprise, a very surprising ingredient, but apparently gives it kind of a creaminess.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have tried any of these just because I'm not like a hard liquor fan in general, and so none of these sound particularly good. I'm more of a fruity, like daiquiri kind of drink person, so.
Like Dole Whip spiked.
Yeah, I'll try a spiked Dole Whip.
Well, just a quick note that the April 21st episode of American Idol will be Disney night. So if you want to listen to some new renditions of some of your Disney favorites, this might be the night for you. I'm ridiculous and I always seem to watch, not necessarily live, but I will go back and watch some of the performances from Disney night for this and also Dancing with the Stars because,
oh yeah,
well, Disney.
Well, yeah, and sometimes they do some really interesting really cool renditions. Things.
I'm trying to think, was it last, I think it was last year that there was a really cool rendition of Bare Necessities that I really liked.
Mm. That, I feel like after the show, I'm going to have to look this up now.
That I think the girl that ended up winning, this is how much I know about the American Idol, the girl that I think that ended up winning it this year did it, but it was really interesting. It was a really interesting take.
Yeah. Well, now it's time to take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James tries to stump us with some Disney trivia. He'll read us the questions, we'll attempt to answer them, and then James will give us the correct answers after the discussion topic. What fresh, terrible stuff do you have for us this week, James?
Well, I'm loaded with listener questions this week.
Oh, so it's the listener's fault.
Yeah, so you can't really blame me. But I'm playing a bit of a spoiler to tonight's discussion topic. Our first question comes from Richard S., who is known for questions about which attraction?
That's, is that the question?
That's not the trivia question.
It's a small world.
It's a small world, right?
And he wrote in his email, finally, it's not a small world question. How many Disney princesses are in Mickey and the Magical Map?
Ooh.
Well, Tiana.
Oh, my gosh.
And Pocahontas? Stop talking.
Are we doing this one together, if you're going to keep saying them out loud?
Yeah, we can do it together.
Okay. Pocahontas.
Yeah. Tiana.
Tiana. We also have...
Mulan? What?
Tangled. Rapunzel.
Rapunzel. So that's three.
I think, yes, Mulan.
Okay, that's four. I should write this down. Tiara.
Tiana.
Tiana.
Tiana. I got it right the first time.
That's true.
Tiana...
I'm trying to think of what the songs are in general.
Rapunzel.
Because we have...
And what was the other one?
King Louie in the beginning.
Tiara, Mulan, Rapunzel, and who?
Pocahontas.
Pocahontas.
Tiana. Tig. Tiana.
I'm gonna edit this out. I can't.
Obviously. Please don't. Please don't.
Dishonor on you.
Dishonor on you. Dishonor on the cow.
So we're up to four.
I guess we're gonna go with... Four.
I'm just going to change. I'm going to put my answer as five because I feel like we're probably forgetting one, but I don't know what. And since you didn't say we had to know the names, you just said a number.
Wait a minute.
Do they have to do anything in the show or they're just present? Because what if some of them extra ones run out at the end?
Some extra ones.
You know what I mean?
You know, like, just for laying the around. Like, yeah, yeah.
They bring out Snow White. Or something. I don't know.
I don't think they do, though. I think it's all the characters that have already been in the show.
I've seen it once.
I've seen it once. So we both seen it once. Anyway.
All right, second question. And for the first time ever, I had two listeners submit the same question.
Really?
Oh.
Or at least parts of it.
Good question.
So this is from Daryl T. and Eric J. So before Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, the area hosted two attractions. What were they?
This is the Mine Train Through Nature's Wonderland. And
before Big Thunder.
Yeah, so it's Mine Train Through Nature's Wonderland, and I think it's the Conestoga wagons or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah, they have those little donkey things. That's it. They had donkey rides.
So you're just saying donkey rides?
Yeah, there were donkey rides.
And you said the mine train as well. I'm doing really well tonight. On my side, I spelled mine train, M-I-N-E space T-R-A-N-E.
Ah, you're thinking about the company here in La Crosse.
Continue.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Wow.
Our third question. What is the name of the bride who is seen in the attic section of the Haunted Mansion?
Oh, shoot.
That's the Vern question?
Shoot, what is it? It's good, too. Oh, this is killing me. No pun intended.
I'm trying to think.
Trying to become soul number 1,000, huh?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what the Disneyland Paris version actually said, like, all the people, but I can't remember. I don't know. I'm going to pull a Terry, and I'm going to pass.
It's...
because I don't know.
It's something like with... it has something to do with her axe, so it's something Hatchet, or, like, it's like Kathy Hatchet, or, like, something like that. I can't remember. The last name has something to do with the fact that she, like, has an axe. Oh.
James is looking dubious. This is killing
me. No. It's Constance.
Constance! I think you're right.
Constance Hatchet.
I think you're right with Constance, for sure. Okay.
It's something to do with her axe, though.
All right, our last question tonight comes from Katie J. And this one actually made me laugh out loud reading this, so... because I had no idea this was coming.
Oh, boy.
So all of the audio animatronic geese from America Sings were relocated to Splash Mountain, except for two of them. Where are those two geese at?
Can we have it in the park?
They are in the park. Okay. They're at an attraction.
Okay. They're at an attraction in the park.
Geese. Okay, yeah, so they're in... I was going to say, oh, Splash Mountain, I know this one.
I know, me too. I was like, got it. I wonder...
And then in the end, you have to crush our souls.
Right. They were reassigned as new characters.
Dear Lord, so they're not geese anymore?
That I'm going with no.
Oh, man. Kay.
I mean, if it helps, Teresa, you were not alive when they were reassigned, but Tag, you were.
I was going to say...
I just have to tell you the attraction.
Let me think.
Yeah.
Star Tours.
Oh, you're right, because they're baggage handler things in the bottom in the queue.
So are you also saying, yes, Star Tours?
Four questions down. We'll see how they did after tonight's discussion topic.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we decided to do some more history on an attraction that has quite a bit of history in the park. This week we were talking about...
and outside of the park.
Well, yes. And all over the world, actually. The attraction we're talking about this week is It's a Small World. So, Teresa, where did It's a Small World come from?
So, It's a Small World was originally designed for the 1964 World's Fair. You've probably heard of that World's Fair before, because we have a lot of attractions.
Mm-hmm. From there?
Yeah, I was going to say still from there, but there are some that have retired and moved on, so yeah, that we got from that too. But so some of the attractions that we got from the 1964 World's Fair, of course, is A Small World, Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, the Carousel of Progress, and the Skyway.
It was a big time for them, and mm-hmm, Walt was very smart, because these companies paid to have Disney create these things, and then Walt was smart because then afterwards, when the fair was over, he repurposed them for attractions at Disneyland, and some of them are, yeah, really well-loved attractions.
Well, and it was interesting, because it sounded like some of the things he had been working on before he had gotten sponsored, and then got the sponsorship dollars, made it happen, and then, yes, transplanted it. Some of them, which we had learned this a while ago, and we were both very surprised to have learned this, Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, that's the Disneyland version, is actually a replica of the original, because the Disneyland version opened while Mr. Lincoln was still performing at the World's Fair, because he was there for two seasons. And so, yeah, so there were two Lincolns at one point.
Ooh,
performing.
Right.
But the thing that I found interesting was, so Pepsi is actually who sponsored the It's a Small World. And what was interesting, it's a tribute to UNICEF, and it has to do with, you know, the children of the world, basically. And the thing I found interesting was they actually approached Walt a little late in the game. And so they kind of had to just go with whatever it was that he pitched to them, because there was such a short amount of time that I think they felt maybe they didn't have much say, because they weren't giving him much time to create whatever they wanted. So it was actually, how long do you think it took, or how long do you think he had to
create this? Well, I see in front of me they were given 11 months.
Yes, 11 months. It was, less than a year for them to create It's a Small World. And really, the version that we had at the 1964 World's Fair is pretty much the exact same thing that we have in Disneyland today.
Which is amazing.
It is. It now, really is.
When you think of It's a Small World, other than the music, what is the most standout feature you think of?
The facade.
Yes. And of course, that was done by Imagineer Mary Blair, who came up with a whimsical design. She had experience working on movies like Cinderella and Peter Pan previously, so she was able to design the whole facade. And for a while there, actually, I'm kind of jumping ahead, but the original design, when it got moved to Disneyland, was the facade was white and gold and very, you know, cool looking. And then for a while, it actually changed to a kind of a pastel colors up until just a few years ago when they, for the anniversary, they switched it back to white and gold, which I think the white and gold looks way better than just the pastel colors, but that's just me.
Mary Blair was also part of the whimsical design and coloring inside of the attraction as well. So this project had Mary Blair all over it. But many of the scenes and characters were actually designed by Mark Davis, and his wife Alice Davis is the one that actually designed all of the costumes. The thing that I find fascinating is that these are all made, but all these costumes are made by hand.
Wow.
Which is just incredible, because they are so detailed. If you guys, if you ever pay attention when you're going through, look at the detail on some of these costumes. It's crazy.
Well, I saw something in some of the research we did today, and I don't remember which article I got this from, but they said that they came to Walt and they said, you know, what's our budget for this? And he said, just make it something that girls are going to want. And so that's why they're so detailed, because they're made so people want to have them. And that's super cool. Of course, the characters themselves are made out of foam and paper mache, based on designs from Mary Blair had done from little golden books, actually, which is kind of interesting. So there are over, do you have an exact number on this? Because the article I have says that there are over 300 of them in this attraction.
So between animated dolls, Disney characters, and unanimated figurines, there are 437.
Arrow Development designed the boats for the attraction, and actually they were so successful and effective at moving people through at the World's Fair, that's what changed Disney's mind to make Pirates of the Caribbean a boat ride as opposed to a walkthrough, because of the fact that it was so successful and able to do that. Which, if I'm sure most of you, if you've read or ridden both of these attractions, the boats are very, very similar.
Very similar, yes. Yeah. The how do I want to say it? The track system is definitely different, because I feel like when you're in, it's a small world, you feel like you're in a flume more so, I guess would be a good way of saying it. Whereas at Pirates of the Caribbean, you feel more like you're in open water.
Right.
So that part of it's different, but the boat that you sit in itself is, yes, very similar.
Well, the Walt Disney World version of It's a Small World actually is, like, everything is flooded like Pirates kind of is. So the Disneyland version seems to be the one that just kind of... But again, it's transporting from the World's
Fair. If you think about it, it was at the World's Fair. They couldn't flood it over.
Exactly.
You know, that would be very difficult to design, especially only in 11 months. So the boat capacity of the Disneyland boats is 15 passengers per vessel. I thought this was really exciting, and I was hoping that this was maybe our trivia question tonight. Did you know that the clock face has a name?
No. What's the name?
It's great. It's Glockenspiel.
Glockenspiel?
I was really hoping that was one of our trivia questions tonight, because that would have been awesome.
Well, Teresa,
I
say the words, it's a small world to you, what is the first thing that comes to mind?
The attraction.
What about the attraction?
That it just keeps going on and on and on. What are you searching for?
I'm looking for the music.
It's a small world after all?
Of course. But their original song was to be called Children of the World, which would feature national anthems from around the world. But the result was anything but harmonic. So luckily, the Sherman Brothers wrote It's a Small World to be played as a round. So basically, it keeps doing it over and over again. Like you would hear a song such as Row, Row, Row Your Boat that would go on and on forever.
You know, and it's I love the Sherman Brothers. I just love this. But the thing that I find fascinating, and it's something I never would have thought of. So the song It's a Small World is estimated to be the most performed and most translated piece of music on Earth.
I believe it.
Just the fact that it's playing on a loop however many times per day at how many parks.
Well, and one thing I saw, I don't know if you read this as well, but one of the things I saw is when Disneyland Paris opened in 1992, the It's a Small World theme is playing somewhere on Earth 24 hours a day.
Oh, that's interesting. Because, you're right.
So that's kind of interesting. Well, the 1965 write-up in the guidebook described It's a Small World as a salute to the children of the world designed by Walt Disney, presents animated figures frolicking in miniature settings of many lands. Visitors are carried past the scenes in small boats. In an adjoining building, Pepsi sponsors exhibits by the U.S. Committee for the United Nations Children's Fund. Above the pavilion rises the 120-foot Tower of the Four Winds, a fanciful creation of colorful shapes that dance and twist in the breeze. So the sign that's kind of outside of It's a Small World now is sort of reminiscent of this large kind of tower, but obviously it's not something that they brought to Disneyland because it was, at least from this picture, it looks quite large.
For some reason, it reminds me a lot of like the look of the Astro Orbiter.
I can see that. Yeah.
So one more thing that I wanted to mention back onto the music. So the Sherman Brothers actually said that in the wake of the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, that was a heavy, heavy influence on the song's message, which is primarily about peace and brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first had presented the music to Walt, he was so delighted with how it came out, because they actually presented it as kind of more of a slow, almost like a ballad.
Yeah.
And he requested it to be a little bit more upbeat, more cheery.
Yeah.
But he was so delighted with the final result that is why he changed and renamed the attraction to It's a Small World, because he fell in love with the music that much.
Well, and I think it's a catchier name than what was
Well, it? But think yeah. of it. So Pirates of the Caribbean is not called Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, A Pirate's Life for
that's
Me.
That's true.
But that's what the attraction music
doesn't
is.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue
or
as an attraction name.
Zippity-Doo-Dah is not what Splash Mountain is called.
That's true.
It was going to be the Zippity-Doo-Dah River Run, I think. Mm-hmm. I remember that correctly from previous trivia.
Yeah.
But it's called something different. So as much as it seems the obvious choice that the attraction be named after the song, we have all sorts of other iconic songs that the attractions are not named after. So maybe not so obvious.
So there's some history that's still with this attraction. So when the World's Fair closed, It's a Small World was relocated to Disneyland, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
It was shipped back piece by piece.
Isn't that crazy?
On some of the pieces is still the shipping labels.
Wow.
On the back of some of the like set pieces is still the shipping labels. So that's pretty freaking cool.
Wow.
Now,
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, me too. Now, the grand opening at Disneyland brought 36 officials from around the world to the opening, along with 800 international reporters and 16 children from various countries. The 16 children added water from the seven seas and nine major lagoons into the water of the ride, and Walt added water from the rivers of America.
How fitting.
And actually, if you go on YouTube, you can actually see a video of this opening ceremony where all these kids were there, and the kids were kind of dressed, you know, in outfits from their countries and whatnot. So I thought that was pretty cool. To the chagrin of many people who probably wished this was the case, they actually never thought that the attraction was going to last.
No. I mean, even the Imagineers and the Sherman Brothers and, you know, everyone at the heart of creating this attraction, they did not think it was going to last. But it's actually estimated that there were around 10 million ride tickets that were sold during its seasons at the World's Fair.
Hmm.
So 10 million rides alone just in those, because it was at the 1964 and then also during 1965 World's Fair. So two fair seasons. That's just crazy. So no wonder they realized how efficient this ride system was and decided to incorporate it for Pirates as well. This is one of the few attractions. Now, don't quote me. We can ask Tag, who's in charge of Mouse Kingdoms and talks about the rest of the parks. This is one of the few attractions that you can find at every single Disney park.
There is one park that does not have It's a Small World, and that is Shanghai Disneyland.
During the most recent major renovation of It's a Small World, that was back in 2008 and ended in 2009, they added all sorts, and I thought this was great. They added all, well, take that back. I had mixed feelings at first, but they added all sorts of Disney character dolls to the attraction. As some of you may have remembered, Chegg and I did try to list as many of them as we could. which there's a lot. There are a lot. But to refresh your memories, so going through, in England, we have Alice and the White Rabbit. Peter Pan and Tinkerbell are also there, too. So then moving on to France, we have Cinderella with her friends Jack and Gus Gus. Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket are also added in the Italy section. China, we have Mulan and Mushu. And there's kind of an area that depicts the Middle East, and we can see Aladdin, Jasmine, and Abu. Over in Africa, we've got Simba, Pumbaa, and Timon, of course, from The Lion King. But then there's also a South America section that has the Three Caballeros, which are Donald Duck, Jose, and Panchito. I feel like we have a lot of Three Caballeros in Disney World, not so much in Disneyland, so it's a nice little nod that we've got to them. Well, down in the South Seas section, we do have Ariel and Flounder, Lilo and Stitch riding a surfboard, and we also have Nemo and Dory. And finally, some of the last characters to be added are kind of in the North America section, and it's Woody, Jessie, and Bullseye from the Toy Story movies.
That is quite a bit of characters.
Lots and lots of characters. And, you know, they're very well themed. Some of them stick out a little bit more than others, but some of them are very almost, I don't know, they blend in very well.
Well, they did them in the style of It's a Small World, which I think is important.
Yes, definitely.
For sure. It's a Small World has a very interesting distinction in Disneyland, and that is, in 1997, it was the very first attraction to have a holiday overlay, and of course it becomes the It's a Small World holiday every year for the holiday time. So they add the song.
Thousands of lights.
Well, thousands of lights. And they add the song, they keep parts of the It's a Small World song, but then they add in Deck the Halls and Jingle Bells, and they add, it's just amazing. If you've never seen it, go look at it on YouTube, look at a ride view, even just look at the outside. I want my house to look like this. There are so many lights.
It would be interesting if we could find how many lights there are exactly. I'm sure there's a number somewhere, but it's got to be mind-boggling.
I watched the holiday special, the Disney Parks holiday decoration special thing, and the guy said that every year they throw away or they recycle every light that's on the front of them, and they put brand new lights up every year.
Got to make sure they're working. They also, I believe, they also go through and redress the dolls, too.
Oh, by the way, almost 1 million lights.
There you go. 1 million lights. That's crazy.
That is a lot of lights.
So many lights. And in such a compact space, too.
Yeah.
So it's even more
amazing. Well, it looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I don't think
It's a great attraction. I don't think we have anything else to say about it, but is it one of those must rides for you? I feel like it's a must ride at least once for me.
Yeah, I need to do it at least once. I did find that one out of every four families says that it is a tradition for them and they have to ride it each time they visit the parks. Every time I seem to go, there is always a very long wait for it. So definitely still a very popular attraction. Vern, however, is on the fence because that song does get stuck in his head and it becomes an earworm for him throughout the day. But he will go on it with me at least once per trip.
So do we just stick some earplugs in and he can just enjoy the visuals?
And float along, yes.
I think you could enjoy this attraction without the music and just the visuals.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know.
As much as I enjoy the music, it does get to be a long attraction. And so hearing the same thing over and over and over again can get a little tiring. I do understand that, which hopefully for some people, I bet that probably takes away from this attraction and they get a little, I don't know, annoyed, frustrated, however you want to say it.
I can see that.
You know, I see both sides of it.
I do too. Well, that does it for It's a Small World. Did we miss anything? Is there anything that you want to add to this? Go ahead and send us an email at feedback@dlweekly.net and we will talk about it on the show. Well, if you want a way to chat with us and other listeners of the show about anything Disney Parks related, you can head on over to dlweekly.net/forum to be taken to our forums. The forums are free and open to everyone to chat about Disney Parks all around the world. So head on over and make a quick post about yourself in the introductions forum and join in on the discussion.
Well, we hoped you enjoyed listening to this episode of DL Weekly. You can support the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you want access to our supporter chat that we're always talking about, it's only 75 cents an episode. Please consider joining supporters like Olivia C and head on over to dlweekly.net/support. Well, now it's time to return to James over in Trivia Land to get the answers to this week's trivia.
How do you feel like we did, Teresa?
I don't know. I'm curious.
Okay.
I'm very curious. I don't have high hopes.
Well, right off the bat, I think we all want to thank Richard S.
Yes.
Daryl T. Eric J. Vern, producer Vern, and Katie J. for sending in the questions this week.
Great questions, you guys.
Makes it nice for me because then I just get to read them.
Yeah. James, producer James loves it when you guys send in trivia questions, so keep sending them in.
They're way better than when I come up with. So.
They are good.
All right, the first question we went to tonight from Richard S. was, how many Disney princesses are in Mickey and the Magical Map?
And I said five.
And I said four, because we're bad.
And you should have known you got them all. Four of them are in the show.
Good job, Teresa. 1 point. And
I was with you. I kind of thought we were missing someone.
Yep. Good for sticking with it. Yeah. It was right.
Yeah, so Pocahontas, Mulan, and Rapunzel are in the princess medley, and then Tiana, or as Tig calls her, Tiara, is in the finale.
She wears a tiara, at least.
That's true. All right, our second question from both Daryl T. and Eric J. on knowing to each other, though. Before Big Thunder Railroad, the area hosted two attractions. What were they?
This was a good question.
It was.
So we said, what was it?
The mine train through Nature's Wonderland.
And I said there was a donkey ride.
And I said the Conestoga wagons.
Yeah, so you got one of them right. It was the mine train through Nature's Wonderland.
Okay.
But the other attraction was the Rainbow Caverns mine train.
Oh!
Gosh,
so what did I get, a half a point for
that
one?
I feel like I fail at that one, because I always, for some reason, think they're the same.
Yeah, me too.
You can have your half a point for it.
Yeah, we'll take our half a point.
All right, number three. Teresa's excited for this one.
All right, what was the name of the bride who is seen in the attic section of the Haunted Mansion?
And what I say, Constance Hatchett?
And I passed.
Yeah, I'm just taking Constance. That's the right answer. Good work.
Yes! Teresa, do we have a last name?
I don't even have the last
name.
Blame producer Vern.
All right, and the last question?
From Katie J., all of the audio animatronic geese from America Sings were relocated to Splash Mountain, except for two. They were repurposed. Where in the park can you find them?
We both said Star Tours.
Baggage handlers.
And you are right, they are in Star Tours.
Yes!
Teresa got 3.5 points this week.
Whoop, whoop.
And I got 1.5 points this week. So good job, Teresa.
I'm looking up the name of the bride.
Sure.
Hatchaway. Constance Hatchaway.
There we go.
I was so close.
Loved all the questions from you listeners this week. Would love to do more and more listener questions each and every week. You can send me trivia at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.